Turn, please, to the book of Micah. Micah chapter 7 in your Scofield Bible, page 951. Micah chapter 7, verses 7 through 10, page 951. Let's please stand for the reading of God's Word this morning. We'll read the verses responsibly, these four verses. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, Where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. And let's pray. Lord, what a good day you've given us. We thank you for this Sunday and for the services that are conducted here regularly. There are a lot of folks here in this room who've come Sunday by Sunday for many years now. There are newer folks among us, and they've caught on to the fact that this is a special place and this is a special hour. How often I hear folks say that they sensed something here when they first came, and they knew that good things were happening in this place. We pray that you'd bless now and help in this service. For every blessing of the past, we praise thee, but something more is needed today. We pray for your power and your blessing upon our preacher, and please give us of thy spirit as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, I'll Show You, I'll Be Back. I could say with MacArthur, I Shall Return. And this is an amazing passage. It's always been an encouragement to my own heart. And Micah was saying, I'll show you, I'll be back. And I want to read this to you. Don't you even look at it, because I may change a few verses here and there. And I'm putting out a new version of the Bible. It's called the Hiles Perversion. And but I want, before I pray, I want to read this to you. Just, and I want you, now don't forget the subject. I'll be back. In other words, he said, I'll show you, I'll be back. Let me read it for you. Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I'll bear the indignation of the Lord, because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause. He said, I'm going to keep hollering to God. He takes my case and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is my enemy shall see it. I love that. Micah said, I got this gal's bothering me. She said, she's one of the church members. And he said, she's bothering me. She's my enemy. He said, I'll show her. Said, then she shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? And in the days, and the day when thy walls are to be built, and that day shall the decree be far removed. I want to talk to you on the subject. I'll show you. I'll be back. Our Father blessed the message this morning. I'm one of my people today who have fallen to get courage from this passage and this wonderful, wonderful truth. I pray you'd speak to our hearts, and especially the hearts of those who are low today for any reason. In Jesus' name, amen. The prophet was down. He was way down. He was all the way down to the bottom. If you read carefully the scriptures preceding these, you'll find that his family had turned on him. His friends had turned on him. And he says eight things worthy of our note. We won't look at the scripture, I won't again. But he said in verse 9a, he said, I can take it. I can take it. He said in verse 7b, he said it'll end. It'll end. So what he's saying is, I can take it till it's over. And then he says in verse 8b, I'll get back up. Then he says in verse 7, he says, I can wait. I can wait. I'll take it, and I'll wait till it's over, and I'll get back up, because I know it'll end. Then in verse 8a, he says, don't enjoy it too much while I'm down, because you're going to see me get back up again. And then he said in verse 10a, you'll live to see it. In verse 10b, he says, then you'll be sorry. And in verse 8b, he says, don't feel too sorry for me while I'm down. Let me give you those eight things without telling you the verse right now, and I want to get them in line. So if you get this on tape, you can get them one after the other. He says, I can take it. It will end. I'll get back up. I can wait. Don't enjoy it too much while I'm down. You will live to see me get back up. Then you'll be sorry. Don't be too sorry for me while I'm down. Now what he's saying in the last thing there, he's saying it's not so bad being down. He said, I've gotten closer to God since I've been down. So don't feel too sorry for me while I'm down. So he said, what he's saying here, basically, he's saying, I can take it. I can take it. I'm not a quitter. I can take it. No matter what comes, I can take it. He said, then he said, it's going to end. And by the way, it's going to come to you someday. And the question is, can you take it when it comes? But the good thing is, it'll end. Just as sure as God's judgment comes, God's judgment ends. And just as sure as you have days of testing, those days of testing end. And just as sure as the heartache comes in your life, the days of heartache do come to an end. And then he said, I can wait. I can wait. I can hang in there. I can hang in there till it's over, backracky. The backracky is what I'm going to put in my new Bible. But he said, I can hang in there, backracky. And I can wait. Because, you see, if you know it's going to be over, it's easier to wait. You see? And he said then, so don't enjoy it too much. He said, you folks that are laughing right now while I'm down, he said, don't you have too much fun. Because you're going to be in for the shock of your life. When I think about that, I think about over Revelation. When the two witnesses come in the middle of the tribulation period, probably Elijah and Enoch, and they come during the tribulation period and they preach the gospel of the tribulation period, and all of a sudden on the streets of Jerusalem they're killed, and they're having parties, rejoicing. Come to our Elijah dead party. Come to our Enoch is dead party. They're having parties. And all of a sudden the Bible says every eye on the face of the earth shall be watching. What? On television, of course. God's telling us about television there. And the whole world will be watching. And these two dead preachers here on the street. And all of a sudden these two dead preachers decide to live again. They just get up and start preaching again. And so don't have too big a party, because we may end your party by getting back up right in the middle of the party. And you'll waste all the money you spend on those refreshments. And so Micah said, then you'll be sorry. And then here's the good thing about it. Micah said, not so bad being down. He said, I know my God better than I knew him before I got down. I walk with my God more than I did before I got down. And he said, don't feel too sorry for me down. It's not near as bad down as you think it is, because Jesus is down here with me. You see? So don't you feel too bad about that, because he's down here with me. Now, let me take these eight things and apply them to numbers of folks here in the room this morning. Don't get worried. I'm not going to call your name. But I want to apply them to different groups in the room here this morning. In the first place, when you have sinned, just look at your folks who criticize you and say, I'll show you, I'll be back. Now, you have one choice of two when you sin. By the way, that's exactly what the prophet had done. He said, I have sinned. And he said, but I want to tell you something. I'll be coming back. I'll be bouncing back. I made a mistake. Okay, I blew it. And I'm at the bottom right now. And I'm suffering my punishment right now. But he said, I guarantee you this. I am not going to stay down here in the gutter. And I'm not going to stay down here on the bottom. I'm going to come back up. Now, you've got one or two choices when you sin. I'm talking about, I don't mean when you hit your finger and say, gee whiz. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you commit some sin that knocks you to the bottom, and people, the Pharisees, start condemning you and criticizing you, and yeah, if that's Christianity, I don't want any part of it. Well, most of you Pharisees don't have any part of it. So I'm saying, they try to kick you while you're down. You give me a fellow who tries to lift you while you're down. You give me the kind of guy that tries to help you back up while you're down, tries to encourage you while you're down. But I want to say to those of you this morning, okay, so you sin. And so you've gone to the bottom. And so it's tough right now. And you're drinking the last dregs of the cup of sin. And you're facing the heartache, the inevitabilities of the punishment of sin. Okay, now folks are watching you. They're watching you to see what you'll do. You can do one of two things. You can either say, okay, I'm down. It's too far to get back up. Okay, nobody cares whether I get back up. Yes, there's somebody who cares whether you get back up or not. So I'll stay down here. I'm too far down, and nobody's going to give me a chance anymore. Let me tell you, there are more people in this room this morning who will give you a chance than there are Pharisees who won't give you a chance. Or you have a second choice. You can say, I'm going to get up. Okay, I'm in the gutter. Okay, I've sinned. Okay, I've done wrong. But I'll show you I am going to get up. What are you going to do? Are you going to prove your enemies right? You going to stay in sin to prove they're right? You going to stay where you are and not get back up on your feet to prove they're right? You going to spend your whole life not being useful for God to prove they're right? There's nothing your enemies want anymore than for you to stay where you are and wallow in the quagmire of sin. That's what they want. Now, I believe what Micah is saying. I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong to say, okay, Buster, I'll show you. I don't think it's wrong. I think you ought to say, brother, listen, I've got a God that lift me up. And I'm going to get back up, and you're going to see me teaching a Sunday school class again, and you're going to see me on a bus route again, and you're going to see me singing in the choir again, and you're going to see me serving my God again. I'm not going to lay here. I'm going to get back up. And that's what he said. He said, I'm not going to lay here in sin. I can take it. It will end. I'll get back up. I can wait. Don't enjoy it too much while I'm down. You'll live to see me get back up. And then you'll be sorry, and don't you be too sorry for who I'm down, because I'm down here getting right with God right now. Now you listen to me. It's not unusual for folks to stumble. It's not unusual for people to come to times of depression in their lives. It happens to almost all Christians. It may be that you have not gone all the way to the bottom, but wherever you are today, wherever you are, if you sinned, if you made a mistake, if you've been expelled from school, if you've been kicked out of college, and you've done wrong, and folks are saying, I told you what he's made out of. Now look at him. You look up at them while you're lying there bleeding and say, Buster, don't you laugh too loud, because I'm coming back up. I'm coming back up. I guarantee you, the louder you laugh now, the louder you're going to cry when I get back up. I'm going to embarrass you. You're going to have a red face one of these days. I'm going to embarrass you because I'm getting back up. Let me come this morning to everybody in this room who's down. And let me tell you, there's a God in heaven that wants you back up. And there's a preacher behind this pulpit that wants you back up. And brother, I'll not push you down. And most of the folks in this room won't push you down. And those people that look at you, your enemies, don't give them the satisfaction of saying, I told you so. So Micah says, I'll be back. I've sinned. I'm being punished. And I can take it. And I can wait. But I will be back up. So don't you enjoy it too much. You'll live to see me get back up. And then you'll be sorry that you laughed. But don't be too sorry for me while I'm down. Now I want to turn from the second group. And that is when attacked. Those who sin, then those who've been attacked. There are people in this room this morning, all over this room. You've been attacked. Somebody has spread stuff about you. Somebody's criticized you. Somebody's attacked you. Now you've got one or two choices. You can simply say, okay, my reputation is ruined. I'm gone. And I may as well just quit. I can't do anything anyway. Let me tell you something. There's not one person in this world that can't do something for God. You look at the people who've attacked you, and you look up at them and say, this will end.
And I'll guarantee you, laugh if you want to, but don't laugh too loud, because he who laughs last, laughs loudest, and you're not going to be laughing at the end, because you're looking at somebody who's going to get back up. He's going to get back up. Now you listen, folks. You're going to, one of these days, somebody's going to launch an attack on you. One of these days, you're going to stumble and fall. When you do, do what Micah did. Micah said, okay, sister, laugh all you want to, but you better not laugh too much or too long, because you're going to see me get back up on my feet, and I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it like a man. I'm going to endure it like a man ought to do it, and I'm going to take it because I know that this is going to end, and I know the day is going to come when I'm going to be on top again, and I'll rise again, and then you'll be sorry so I can take it. Now listen, don't you? Oh, somebody criticized me. I'm not going to come to church anymore. That's the silliest thing you'll do. That's exactly what he wants you to do. It's exactly what he has in mind. He wants you to quit. He wants to point and say, look at him. Look at him. I told you so. Well, brother, get back on your feet and look at him and say, I told you so. Nah. I told you so. He's for the house. You think that's okay? Well, it's in the Bible. Nothing wrong with that. My Bible says the Lord laughs in derision sometimes. Yeah. Now, would you... I think it was a preacher. It may have been somebody here. I don't think it was. I think it was a preacher. He told me about a lady in his church. She was dying. She called her husband to her deathbed. And she said, would you make me a promise? And he said, what is it? And she said, would you promise me that you won't marry again? And he said, honey, I can't make that promise. And she said, then I won't die. And that preacher said she didn't die. I love it. I love it. I mean, I'll show you. I'll show you. You won't promise me you won't marry again. I'll hang around and make it miserable for you the rest of your life. I mean, I'll hang around and love you the rest of your life. There are two types of people. There are types of people that bounce back, and there are types of people that stay down. And the type of people that stay down never amount to anything. But the world has been built, and wars have been won, and churches have been built, and children have been reared, and marriages have been salvaged, and victories have been won. Not for that crowd that says, I'm down, I'm discouraged, nobody likes me. You heard the story, didn't you, about the fellow. He said to his mommy, the boy said, Mama, I don't want to go to Sunday school today. And the mother said, son, you've got to go to Sunday school. The boy said, Mother, I don't want to go to Sunday school today. Well, she said, why don't you want to go to Sunday school? He said, because nobody up there at that church likes me. She said, but you've got to go to Sunday school, son. He said, give me one reason why I ought to go. She said, because you're 40 years old and you're the pastor. It's easy to lay there, lie there, and say, I'm down. Everybody's laughing. I'm discouraged. Get back up! Point up to them from the gutter and say, laugh all you want to, Buster, but you won't be laughing after a while, because I'm going to get up from here. I'm going to get up. You look at me while I'm down, and I'm down right now, but Jesus is down here with me, and I'm having a good time while I'm down. But I'm not going to get down, because he's given me, right now, he's given me vitamins and to recover, and I'll be back up. I'm drinking some spiritual honey from the Word of God right now, and I'm going to get back up. So don't you laugh too loud, because you won't be laughing after a while, because I'm coming back up. And that's what I say this morning to you. Get back up! You say, is that a good reason? Sure, it's a good reason. Sure. I'll show you. I'll be back. There's the third group I want to talk to this morning. When heartbroken. Not only those who have sinned should say, I'll show you, I'll be back. I can take my medicine and I will take it. I know it'll be over. I know it'll end. Sailors, listen to me. I know it'll end. I can take it. I can wait. Don't enjoy it too much. You'll live to see me back up again, and then you'll be sorry. Not only those who sinned and those who've been attacked, but those who are heartbroken. Deep cries unto deep. It seems like when something happens to a family, it just keeps on happening, doesn't it? Or something happens to an individual. And you said about people, how much more can she take? Or how much more can he take? Seems like one child gets sick, the other child gets sick, or one child passes away, or one child gets incurable disease. And how much can you take? Tell you exactly how much you can take. You can take exactly how much as God puts on you. Boy, I love the illustration. I told you about that bridge. When I was driving, from being driven to the airport, upper New York State, we crossed across a bridge. I saw that sign there. Said bridge load limit a certain amount. Somebody had come to that bridge, and they'd figured out how much that bridge could take and how much weight it could hold. And then they said, don't put any more weight on this bridge than this bridge can hold. And God knows exactly how much weight you can carry. And God knows exactly how much burden you can carry. And whatever burden you have, you can carry it. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, and will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And I'll guarantee you, if you're God's child this morning, God will not put, He knows your weight limit, and God will not put any more weight on you than you're able to bear. So I'm saying, when your heart broken, deep cries unto deep, you got one choice of two. You can complain to God and say, you haven't been good to me. Let me tell you something. God's been good to you. If you're sick every day of your life, every kid you've got sick, and you haven't got a dime to pay your bills with, God's good to you because you're not going to go to hell. That's good enough for me. God's good to you because He's given you a home in heaven free of charge. All you got to do is take it by grace through faith, and God is good to you. And when you're heartbroken and you can't think, you can't rise again, you're down at the bottom, and folks are saying, look at him. I wonder what, like Job, I wonder what he's done to cause that. He's probably committed some awful sin. You look up from the deep and you say, my eyes are filled with tears and my shoulders are heavy, a burden with the load that's on my back. And I don't know how I'm going to face tomorrow, but I'll face tomorrow. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but I'll make it. I don't know how I'm going to get up, but I'm going to get up. I don't know how I'm going to win the victory, but I'm going to win the victory. You'll see. I'll come back. I'll show you. Show your enemies. Say, yeah. I came back. My heart was broken, but I came back. Number four. Not only should you say, I'll show you, I'll be back. I can take it. It will end. I'll get back up. I can wait. Don't enjoy it too much. You'll live to see it. Then you'll be sorry. And don't be too sorry for me while I'm down. Not only to those who sinned and those who've been attacked and those who are heartbroken, but those who are financially down. How are you going to... Listen, sailors. Listen. No talking. You got one admiral up here that's going to make you behave. Listen to me. When you're broke, you say, I don't know how I'm getting out of this, but I'm getting out of it. I may have caused it. Doesn't matter. I'm getting out of it. I may not have caused it. Doesn't matter. I'm getting out of it. Mrs. House and I, the other day, were down at Jacksonville, Florida, where she preached and I made a few talks. We're with Dr. Bob Gray in Jacksonville. I admire the man. Here's one reason. Several years ago, when the race problem was so big, and a lot of folks, especially in the South, were sending their children to private schools because of the race situation, and they were alarmed and panicked, Dr. Bob Gray's school went way high in enrollment. Then when it settled down and they found out that it wasn't so bad after all to sit beside somebody maybe that's not the same color you are, then Dr. Bob Gray's school went down because people took the kids out of the school and put them back in the public schools. Those that didn't do it for Christian principle reasons, they took them out of the school. And Dr. Gray's school went way down. Well, his budget was set up for a big enrollment. And the truth is, they had to declare... Is Chapter 11 the corporation and 13 personal? They had to declare Chapter 11 bankruptcy. They were in receivership. The church, I'm in receivership. Now, Dr. Gray could have said, I'll let somebody come in here that can. It's new and fresh. No, he said, I'll come back. I mean, they had a secular banker, businessman, who told them how they could spend their money. By the way, I salute his church also that stood beside him. He made a mistake, and the church stood beside him. I'm telling you this illustration. I have a financial announcement to make after the service is over. I'm trying to prepare you to stand beside me. But anyway, they said, we'll make it. And all over Florida, people said, yeah, that fundamental church. So winning. Yeah, look at them. They're not honest. And I sat beside Dr. Bob Gray one day in his study in Jacksonville. He looked at me in tears rolling down his cheeks, and he said, preacher, I can barely keep going. And several other things came, and it seemed like that burden after burden, and problem after problem, and heartache after heartache, and financial reversal after financial reversal. But he said, I'll stay. If you drive on that church's campus down there in Florida right now, you will see a beautiful artist's sketch over here. High, and you'll see a big auditorium that they're going to build, and they now have paid off everything, and the entire church is free of debt, and they've got $2 or $3 million in the bank, and they're going to build again. If I heard Dr. Bob Gray, I'd send a letter to about 1,000 people in Florida. Dear so-and-so, yan yan, signed Bob Gray. Yeah. I'm saying they were down, and they looked up, and they said, I don't know how I'm going to get back up, but I'm going to get back up. And we made a mistake, and we'll take it, and we'll bear it, and we'll take it, and you'll see. Laugh all you want to. We're coming back. And then you will be laughing, and you'll be crying. Say it today. Say it. Those of you who are down, look to your enemies and say, don't laugh too much. That's exactly what Micah said. He said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. Then she that is my enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her. You look at those this morning who are looking at you and saying you're down, and I'm glad you're down, and I told you to be down. And by the way, they said to him too, yeah, you said your God was so much. You said your God would bring you back up. You get on your back and look up, and as they say to you, where's your God? You will say, he's down here with me. Well, yeah, if religion, if Christianity is so good, what are you doing down there? I don't know what I'm doing down here. I don't know how long I'll be down here. But there are three things I do know. I'll get out of here. And the second thing I know, I can take it while I'm here. And the third thing I know, Jesus is with me while I'm down here. I'll show you. I'll be back. You're financially down. Number five. Fifth among 27 points. Sure. Five, when you failed. So you failed in school. So you failed. I mean, your report card only has one letter on it. It's fee-fi-fo-fum. Your port card. Failed. Get up! There's a man right there. Roy Moffitt. Use him often as illustration. Walked in my office one day, a student at Howells Anderson College, and said, preacher, I cannot go to college. I'm not smart enough to pass. And I said to him, you can pass, Roy. You can. He said, preacher, I'm doing the best I can, but I can't do it. If you knew how dumb Roy is, you'd think he couldn't do it either. He said, I can't do it. And I said, you can do it. But I'm failing. Okay, look up and say, I'll show you. I'll be back. By the way, he came back. And he did graduate from Howells Anderson College. And now he's Dr. Roy Moffitt. Now he's one of the most respected assistant pastors in America. One of the finest busmen in America. Why? I'll tell you why. He wasn't like you. They said, I don't think I can. Oh, everybody's against me. Oh, my soul. Do you want your enemies to laugh at the rest of your life at you? You want your critics to point to you and say, yeah, I told you so. Brother, I'm not built out of that kind of material. There's something inside me that makes me want to say to my critics, you wait and you'll see. There's something inside that man that said the same thing. You wait and you will see. You failed in school. Look up at those that laughed at you. Somebody back home said you shouldn't go to Howells Anderson College. It's not accredited. That's not true. It is accredited. It's accredited in the city with streets of gold and gates of pearl. Not by a bunch of heathen humanists. No, it's not accredited. And it won't be accredited by a bunch of heathen humanists. But you look up at those of you that said, yeah, you went up there to come. This is about back home right now, waiting for you to come back in. You won't stay. You won't make it. So what are you going to do? You're going to pack up your belongings in the back of a U-Haul truck and roll back in, a flop and a failure, and every enemy you've got, every critic you've got is going, I told you so. What you ought to do is you stay till you get that piece of paper and that degree, and you go back home and you hold it right in their nose and rub it right in their nose. I'll show you, said Micah, I'll be back. And while I'm down, I can take it. And I know it'll end. And I'll be back up. And I can wait till it happens. So don't enjoy it too much. You'll live to see it. Then you'll be sorry. And don't be too sorry for me while I'm down. Of course, you know I've got to think of Joe Elwell when I think about this. Joe Elwell enrolled in our college. Maybe in the first or second year the college opened its doors back in 1972 or 73, Joe Elwell enrolled. He got in trouble at college. I'm not sure whether he was expelled or not. I think he was. But he said, I'll show you. I'll be back. He came back. And he got in financial reversals. And he had to drop out. But he said, I'll show you. I'll be back. I don't mean he left here. He stayed right here in this area. He didn't move back home. He'd take one course at night and one on Wednesday night, maybe one semester, and three at night classes. And ladies and gentlemen, 13 years after he enrolled in Hiles Anderson College, he stood right here where I'm standing right now, and I had the joy with tears in my eyes of giving him his degree. And Joe Elwell is a successful pastor in Morgantown, West Virginia right now, pastoring a fine church. Why? Because he said, I am coming back. Folks laughed at Joe. Laughed at Joe. Joe said, I'm going to make it. But Joe, how can you? I don't know how. I've got a wife and I've got a bunch of kids. I don't know how, but I will. I'll show you. Some of you got parents back home think you won't stick. There's nothing in the world that would tickle them any more than if you come back home and they say, I told you so. Somebody, listen, when somebody says you won't make it in any endeavor, one of you is going to be able to say, I told you so one of these days. And I'd a lot rather say it than hear it. I know a young preacher. More than he's middle-aged now. I mean, he's in his 60s. Middle-aged. No, he's middle-aged now. He's from this church. God called him to preach. I recommended him to a church, a good-sized church, being an assistant pastor. I went down to preach at that church. The pastor told me that this guy I'd recommended from this church, young preacher boy, was not going to work out. I said, why? He said, he's lazy. He said he comes to work in the morning late. He goes home early. Takes too long a lunch hour. He's lazy. He said, the truth is, he doesn't even come to Sunday school on time. He's late to Sunday school. I mean, the assistant pastor, late to Sunday school. It's like Brother John was this morning. Late to Sunday school. I went to this young man. I made him so mad at me, he could have had me for breakfast. Oh, he was mad. I said, you'll never make it. I'm ashamed of you. I did it on purpose. Hoping what would happen, that what happened would happen. He said, why? I said, because you're a bum. You're lazy. You're no count. You're shiftless. He said, wait a minute. I thought you loved me. I said, I used to. You're lazy. I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed to call you my preacher boy. I'm ashamed you're from my church. I didn't know this for years, but he went home and told his wife what I said. He said, if that old man lives long enough, I'll show him. I'll make him eat those words. And those were exactly the words I wanted to eat. The other day I was preaching with a fella. Who's from Moody Bible Institute. I got my coat like that. And he got up and said, after a sermon or two, he said, I've learned how to preach now. He said, you do your coat like that. I didn't tell him anything would help, but I could have. But anyway,
I just want you to know that's the way to preach, fellas. That's the way you do it. This guy went home and told his wife, said, how's he those words? Brother, he started getting up and turning the roosters on. That's funny, wasn't it? And he got to work before the preacher did. Sunday morning, he was there shortly after sunup. And the big motivation was for me to eat my words. I'll make my old brother Howell eat those words. It's the last thing he does. He began to pastor a church. He's been now for many years a successful pastor. He built a church, started with almost nothing, built it over 1,000 in Sunday school. And he said every morning when he got up on Sunday, I'll show him. It's exactly what Micah said. Micah said, laugh, you female hound dog. That's also in a Howell's New Version. He said, laugh. I'm down, and you're my enemy, and you're having fun. But don't laugh too long. And don't laugh too loud, because I'm not here to stay. I'm getting back up. This morning, if you sinned, and if you're down because it's your fault, you point to your critics and say, I'll show you. I'll be back. This morning, if you've been attacked, folks have criticized you and lied about you, you look up at them and point your finger and say, don't you laugh too much. I'm down now, but Jesus is down here with me, and I'll be back. This morning, if you're heartbroken, everything seems to go wrong, deep calls unto deep, as the Bible says. It seems like about the time you start to get back up from one heartbreak, another comes. You just look up to those who criticized you, and you say, don't laugh too loud. I'll be back, and Jesus is down here with me. If this morning you're financially down, don't know how you're going to make ends meet, don't know how you can get back up. You don't have to know how you're going to get back up, but people who will get back up will get back up. Well, how can you don't have to know how. All you got to do is say, I'll do it. Get up. Just look at those, as did Micah, and say, you'll see. I'll show you. I'll be back. Or if you failed, lost your job because you didn't work hard enough, expelled from college, failed all your courses and had to drop out, you're going to find what you made out of. You'll do one or two things. You'll lay there and your critics will say, it's exactly what I said. I have covered this country, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a college sermon, but I've covered this country. I do not know how many times I've heard these words from some Pharisee back home. Somebody came here. I don't know how many times I've heard these words. So-and-so went to your college. I've told him when he went, he'd never make it. And he didn't. There he sits over right now in church. I told him he wouldn't make it. Boy, when I was a kid, I was a runt. I've not always been built as massively as I am now. But I weighed 92 pounds when I was on my 17th birthday, and that was the year I grew. And folks in my home church used to say to me, you'll never pass the army physical. When they heard that I was joining the paratroopers, they laughed. A girl I used to go with named Peggy Render, she laughed. Ha! Jack? Paratrooper? Ha! Boy, I tell you what, I'll never forget that morning with that cap. I kept my cap on in church even. But that cap, it had that parachute right there. And those wings on that amazing chest that you see, right there. Those wings right there. And those boots shine like a mirror, laced with suspension lines from parachutes, and an 82nd Airborne Division on my shoulder. I walked in that church, and the first person I sought out
was Peggy Rinder. And I said, eh? Jack? Yeah. And that's what I want you to do. That's exactly what I want you to do. Every time I'd start to do a push-up and I couldn't think I'd do another, and I'd see Peggy's face. Glory to God. Get back on your feet. But until you can get back on your feet, you just look up and say, don't you laugh too much. I'll show you. I'll be back. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that some backbone shall be started in our people. Heap of people this morning who are down. Some down because of sin. Some down because of critics, attacks. Some down because of heartaches and heartbreaks. Some are down because of finances. I pray today you'd help us, even while down, to say to those who predicted our downfall and predict that we'll stay there, help us to say what Micah said to his enemy. Don't laugh too long or too loud, because I can take this. It'll end, and I can wait till it does. I'm coming back, and you'll turn your laughter into sadness. Our heads are bowed.